children's activities, as well as gallery space for local art. They also offer a variety of classes, workshops, and French cultural activities and performances. The telephone number for information is 291-1122.
Merry Christmas. Time for the Medicine Ball Caravan here on KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. I'm Cecil Doyle. We're going to be spending the hour with Brother Deej. And if you haven't heard the news locally, you'd probably be under a rock. But Deej's tune, Too Old to Die Young, will be included in the new Quentin Tarantino epic Django Unchained that releases nationally tomorrow, Christmas Day. We'll be talking about that and playing a whole lot of music this hour. Deej brought in a stack of records. We're going to begin with the musical question asked by the Reverend J.M. Gates as we kick off this Christmas Eve edition of The Caravan.
I'm asking a universal question this morning.
Amen.
Where did you spend Christmas Day? Did you spend Christmas Day in jail?
Amen.
Now you spent Christmas Day somewhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And did you spend Christmas Day in jail?
In jail.
I didn't see the church.
No.
Yes. Wasn't in Sunday school.
Well.
Uh-huh. Wasn't at the BYPU meeting.
Lord,
wasn't at the prayer meeting.
Yes. All right.
Did you spend Christmas Day in jail?
All right.
Did you spend Christmas Day?
Where
did you spend Christmas Day?
Wow.
I'm talking about the 25th day of December in 1929.
Well,
did you spend Christmas Day? Christmas Day in jail? Did you visit your friends? Did you take a trip on the train? In your automobile? Did you spend Christmas Day? I'm talking to you. You midnight rambler. Where did you spend Christmas Day? Christmas Day in jail. Some of you have a key in your pocket now.
That's true.
Put your switchblade knife. Nothing but a key to the jail now.
You women.
You women. Where did you spend Christmas Day?
Come on.
You midnight walker. Where did you spend Christmas Day? You liquor drinkers. You bootleggers. Where did you spend Christmas Day? You door riders. You law violators. Where did you spend Christmas Day? You mother heartbreakers. You slick fingered gamblers. Where did you spend Christmas Day? You don't spill rebukers. You that say if I get to heaven, you get there too. Where did you spend Christmas Day? Did you spend Christmas Day in jail? Brother Jones, where did you spend Christmas Day?
All in jail, but what did you stay?
I'm not talking about the state, I'm talking about the jailhouse. Jailhouse is in some state. Did you spend Christmas Day in jail? In jail.
the devil below you. You got your reasons, I got my wants. Still got that feeling, but I'm too old to die young now. Too old to die young now. Above or below the ground. Yes, too old to die young now. Still the good Lord might lay me down.
Brother Deej, here on Medicine Ball Caravan, Too Old to Die Young, the tune that will be included in Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained. And before that, the Reverend J.M. Gates, recorded in New Orleans, Louisiana, back in 1929. December 16th of that year, released as an OK 78 RPM in 1930. Did you spend Christmas Day in jail? Time to look at the KRVS weather. 20% chance of showers this afternoon. Partly sunny, a high of 73. Then the big Christmas Eve forecast, an 80% chance of severe storms in the area. Light and variable winds becoming south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Showers and thunderstorms, a 90% chance on Christmas Day, a high of 72. Currently, it's 72 degrees on the campus of UL Lafayette. And welcome, Brother Deej.
Sir Cecil.
Thanks so much for coming, man.
Thanks for asking me, buddy.
We were just talking about that. Yeah, definitely had to ask you on that. I said, what am I thinking? I know Deej, the movie opens on Christmas Day. He should come in on Christmas Eve, and we should be talking about it. Well, what can I say, man? I mean, I can't even imagine how you must feel, because I am so excited and pumped over this. I mean, it's like... I've just been flipped over this, and the closer we get to the opening, the more my nerves are just jittery. So I can't imagine what you must be going through.
That's part of the coolest thing about this is people are so stoked. It's like a victory for everybody.
I mean, people get, local musicians get chosen for soundtracks a lot around here. And that's great, but it's not a Tarantino movie. It's not something that's guaranteed to become part of the culture, that's part of, that will be seen on every cable television station eventually, on any given day. Tell us how this happened, man. How did this happen to Deej?
I don't know. It's like I've been knighted by the art freak pope or something.
It's,
you know?
It's true, man. I mean, that's what's so good about this. It's not like, you know, some corporate committee just picked this. No, you. This was
right.
This
no
was,
record label. No real, you know, like
the man himself. The man himself. The man himself caught the lick and something clicked.
I think that's part of the coolness of the story. Is like, hey, there's still hope out there. Like, people in positions of power in the creative world can actually hear your music at some point and make their own decision and say, hey, you know, I'm going to get put this song on here, because I'm sure there's a bunch of major record labels or musical institutions that are petitioning to get their stuff in there, you know.
Right.
I know from other guys that have worked on True Blood and stuff like that, you know, there's Beck and all these guys are trying to get their stuff in these kind of movies and placement and all that stuff, you know, and I don't know any of those people. I'm just kind of floating around, just doing my own thing and putting songs out, like, you know, little messages in a bottle, and they float around the ocean of the world, and eventually they land in somebody's lap. So that's cool. And I think the listen is just put out good stuff that you really believe in and like, and make the music you want to hear.
Well, the special thing about this is that, you know, so many films are done, and I think a lot of directors kind of sometimes go to people that are working, who are in collaboration with record companies and reps, and trying, as you said, to get a song on, you know, slip a song during the end credits, or just throw a few seconds of it during a transition scene. Exactly. But directors like Tarantino are like folks like Kubrick, who are hands on all the detail, and Scorsese, who hear music and sometimes develop scenes around a sound, and so for that to happen to you without, you know, going on trying to push your stuff on it, the fact that you were just, as you said, just picked out, you were selected, makes it just extra special. And
totally grateful, man. I like so appreciative of the opportunity, man.
So yeah,
it's
we're
cool.
We're really excited about it. So tell us the story.
And I'm excited that everybody else is excited. That pumps me up, you know. And I even have to gauge my own excitement, like, wow, people are really stoked, you know. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I guess I should be even more stoked. I mean, I am, but it's also like being in a surreal dream where, like, you know, a month ago I'm sleeping in the van in my van on Holly Beach, just killing time with my buddies and kid, you know. And then next week somebody's Quentin Tarantino's on the radio talking about the soundtrack and one of my, you know, songs.
And saying that every song on this album could be a theme song. You know, it's just like, I mean, I'm so glad someone else is hearing in your music what I've heard for years. Because, I mean, your stuff is always, I mean, your chord changes. There's something, you've got this special gift that I've always picked up on. And, you know, anyway, I'm so glad that someone who can really make
validating.
A difference picked
it really
it up,
is,
you know?
Especially, and it's validating for every other musician in this town, state, whatnot, that are just sitting in their bedrooms or somewhere is making their own kooky music, regardless of the trends or what's happening in New York or some other part of the world or country. Just doing your own freaky little thing, gang up on it, put your energy into it, and, you know, hopefully good things will happen. I mean, this one's wild, so, you know.
Yeah, certainly. Well, let's just play some.
Awesome.
You came, you brought some tunes. We're going to listen to some tunes. We're going to talk some more about, you know, about all of this excitement and everything. But, you brought some.
Let's kick some MC5.
I know, man.
You never get to hear that on the radio.
I know. And as you were saying, those guys should have been way more legendary.
Yeah,
they
should have the legacy of Led Zeppelin or somebody along those lines. Or at least a Boston. You know what I mean? Or a Foreigner.
All right.
One of the greatest bands ever, man. If you haven't heard of the MC5, look them up.
And this is a Fred Sonic Smith song, I do believe, is it?
You know what? I don't even know.
I think it is. And Fred Sonic Smith... was married to Patti Smith later, you know, in life. And anyway, but yeah, we're going to hear some legendary MC5 as well as... what else you got? Well, no, we'll talk about the next song.
This one's called Baby Won't You.
All right. Whoa! That's rock and roll.
Come on up and sing me some time. I'm just a funky fellow, but I'm feeling so
from early Joy Division here on the Medicine Ball Caravan, brought in by our guest, Brother Deej. And man, yeah.
That was Failures of the Modern Man, one of the greatest tunes ever.
I never heard that one. And I was, as I was telling you earlier, I remember, you know, back in the day, you know, 77, 78, you couldn't find punk records. It was, you know, you could find them in New Orleans, but I was living in Mamou, so I was like getting all of my records through mail order. And
it was like you're ordering records from the moon.
It felt like it. But the cool thing about it is these companies would, they'd send you a mailer, and it was all typed out, like on a sheet of paper, descriptions. Hey, who's calling me, man?
That's your phone, buddy.
Hey, call me back later, man. The thing about these catalogs, where they were typed out and they would describe the records. I mean, you could feel the enthusiasm of that. Like, we got a few copies of the latest import, you know, and by these groups. And one of them, you know, was
the MC5. They had that record in Mamou, like in a
That too. But the Joy Division was like, I would see the singles, but I had never heard of them. And, you know, so I had never heard of Joy Division until they started putting out the LPs.
Right. They were like a distant planet in your musical universe.
So anyway, it was interesting to hear them in their early days. Most people think of the more brooding Joy Division.
Which is great. Yeah. That's like when they were young punks just kind of like busting out the gate.
Right. I mean, that was the thing. The whole thing was like, you know, let's tear down the whole musical system, start over. Even though you can't play, just put your energy into it, and eventually you will learn to play. So, anyway, and before that, the great MC5, a Fred Sonic Smith tune from the album High Time, and Baby Won't You, man. Some good, good stuff, man.
Yeah, they rock.
So we were with Brother Deej, and we are on the...
Detroit.
The eve of the release of Django Unchained. Are you going to go see that tomorrow?
I think I'm getting together with a bunch of Saint Streeters.
You know, we should have
my neighborhood.
We should have got about 300 people together.
Let's all go. Everybody wants to go.
I wish we would have bought out a screening of it where we could all be in there. And
can you do that?
Well, I mean, I guess in advance, if you say, hey, we want to buy out, you know, of course, I don't know how that would cost you a good bit. But anyway, yeah, that should have been done. We should have done that, had some kind of private screening party. That would be great, man.
I think a gang of us are going to go out tomorrow.
As soon as we'll hear the strains of the guitar lick coming in, we're all just going to bust out cheering, you know. It's just like, and I can't wait to see, you know.
It's rooting for the home team, you know. I think just people like that. Just like the way people root for the Saints or the ice skaters even. We're in ice hikey people, but yeah, they want to go root for something, man. Right. I think that's where commercial radio has dropped the ball completely, man. They've eliminated the, not to talk trash about them on public radio, but you know what I mean? Like, people want to hear local stuff kick.
Yeah. And just good, real stuff too. So tell us,
Israel.
So tell us, okay, how did you hear that you were chosen to be on the soundtrack?
I'd gotten a really innocuous email from Quentin Tarantino's music supervisor. And
did he address himself as such, or
how did No. They didn't give any indication of what it was or
he just
or
said,
what movie.
I work for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and we'd like to use your. We're interested in using one of your songs in a movie. Mm-hmm. And I was at work at the time. I work at a nonprofit in town that assists homeless people. So I'm like, I just kind of wrote him a quick email back. Hey, well, tell me a little bit about your movie. And I'm interested, but, you know, I'd like to know what it's about. Maybe it's about something, you know, I don't know, some cuckoo stuff.
Yeah, maybe you were thinking it was some regional movie or who knows.
No, man, kidnapping babies or something bad, you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, so I wrote her back, and then I didn't answer her. I wrote her back, and then 15 minutes she called me, and she said, hey, did you read my reply to your email? I was like, no. She goes, well, go to your email box and read it. So I read the email to his music supervisor over the phone. So it's like, you know, my name is blah, 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 and I represent Quentin Tarantino for the movie Django Unchained. We'd like to use your song, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is wild. Like, surprising. I mean, there were a lot of cuss words.
Did you think it was a joke? What was the original? I mean,
I guess that passed through my head.
Well, the fact that you were reading it while they're on the phone kind of takes that aspect. Like, is this for real?
I mean, that's a good question. So, yeah. I mean, the whole thing seems kind of surreal, and like maybe I'll wake up and just be like, normal day or something. But I don't know. It's cool. Regardless.
So that's basically all it goes to. They just ask you for permission.
Yeah, well, they ask you permission, then you start negotiating it and this and that, or like little things and licensing rights. And they ask you, you know, who owns the song. I put the song out, you know, with a couple of my buddies, Primo and Krishna, on a little record label called Golar Wash Labs, which is
now. You take care of all of this? Did you answer all the questions, or did you refer them to others?
I answered a lot of the questions, and then I referred a lot of them to Bradley Black, entertainment lawyer.
Oh, she, that's
here,
right.
You know, so she quarterbacked a lot of that kind of
very good,
stuff
man.
Like that. Thanks. Shout out to Bradley.
So anyway, wow. And excellence. So, okay, the call comes through, and how long did it take for it to kind of sink in, or is it still like kind of absorbing into the cranium?
Like, yeah, I'm trying to just seeping keep cool, in there. You know? I mean, I've been doing this music stuff for a long time, so there was never any kind of like, the gods have kept me lean, you know, over the years. Like, just, I don't know, just kept banging away over the years. So this coming, this, you know, somewhat late in the game, I'm not a spring chicken, is cool, and I'm really stoked. But at the same time, I'm not like, you know, hey, I conquer the world. Now I'm going to take over.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I might get some opportunities to set some stuff off.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, yeah, well, you can't think of a much better way to at least get your name and your sound out there, because you can put out an album and it'll get played there. But to be included in a movie that's going to be seen this, you know, like this one will be, I mean, there's just no better way to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people will be curious, you know, who is this brother Deej?
I have no idea how this will play out, you know, really don't. And that's part of the exciting, fun part of it.
I'm curious to see how he's going to use it as well, too, because, you know, my first impression is, you know, you never know. He could just be using the guitar lick over and over in a loop, or he could be using a good portion of the song. Did anyone give you any inclination? Are you going to find out first time you see it as well?
I was told a few different things, but all I'm really comfortable with saying is it's in a pivotal scene in the movie.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's the great thing, and Tarantino did say that himself on an interview last week on Sirius XM. So he that was the moment that made me say, wait, I know Deej, this is too big. It's like it hit me at that moment, like how big it was. I mean, it was kind of like me. It was kind of like a blow, like I got slapped silly.
Really?
And it was like, and you're kind of numb, and you're going, like, wow, Deej is going to be in the movie. And then it's like, it starts coming here, and you don't realize, wow, in a couple of days, that movie's going to be out. And it's just like, wait.
It's tripped out.
Let me call Deej. Maybe he can come over. And anyway, I do appreciate you coming over, because, man, you know, I mean, you're a busy guy. I mean, you know, with all of this, I mean, the kind of work you do, man. Tell us a little bit more about what you do, your day job.
I work in a nonprofit facility called the Stella Maris Center, which is kind of like a day facility for homeless folks. They can come and take showers, do their laundry, and get access to some social services that will help them out. So I've been doing that for about, I don't know, working with the homeless people full time for about a year and a half. And I just totally accidentally fell into that world, had no experience in it before. And just the universe said, hey, dude, you're going over here. This is what we kind of got set up. So here's the job. So I started doing it. And it's really fulfilling, man. Like,
I would think so. Like, I mean, where are the jobs? You just kind of, I don't know, if you accomplish something in this realm, I would think you would have a lot more self-satisfaction than you would in helping yourself.
It helps me stay grounded, to be honest, because I'm a, you know, self-centered musician just like everybody else, and I get a little, you know, full of my own stuff too, as we all do, man. We're all kind of narcissistic, kind of coot dweebs. So it just keeps you grounded. You deal with a lot of people with way worse problems than you, and you're helping them, and that's a feel-good thing. I think it's honestly the most basic spiritual foundation principle there is just helping other people, whether or not you're whatever religion you are or your belief system or no religion. Just helping other people is a good energy to kind of push out into the world, and I feel good about it. I like it. Even when I deal with all kind of crazy crap during the day, I usually go home in a good mood.
Wow. Well, yeah, I guess you would, man. And you've always had unusual jobs. You've never been your typical 9-to-5-er. I mean,
they're all adventures, man. Every job. I mean, musicians, we always complain about our jobs. But the thing is, just have fun with it, man.
Yeah.
Make it interesting. Make your job art.
Right. And those of you who don't know, for quite a while, Deej was driving a cab here in town.
Yeah, I did that for about 4 or 5 years on the night shift, and that was a huge, crazy adventure.
Do you ever do anything with your journals?
Yeah, I still got it. In fact, I was talking to somebody about that last night. I have all the best of the cab log, journals stuff. At the time, I was blogging a lot of the stories in the cab. I have it all in a Word file. The problem is the Word file is 800 pages long. So I have to go back and edit and revise it and kind of squeeze it down in a manageable form, and that's a lot of work. But it's going to happen. It'll come out. I think it'll be a really good, like, John read. You know, you're sitting in the bathroom. The catalog is going to be, like, a good book for, like, having right by the magazines, the Time magazines, the Playboys, the Discoveries, and the National Geographics. Just have it right there in that stack, you know?
Sounds good. We're talking to Brother Deej here on the Caravan. Let's play some more music. Deej, you brought in something from that, what year was this, 1980 or 81, the release of Sandinista by The Clash. We're talking about that, about the only so-called punk band that put out
a double album. They did two.
And this is a trip. This is a triple album.
Triple, right.
This was three, and they sold it for the price of, I think, one.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The record company, Epic, at the time went nuts.
Yeah,
because
they weren't too excited about it.
Yeah, they probably lost money because they didn't have a big hit off of it or anything, I don't believe.
Sandinista, London Calling were back-to-back, too. So it's like, wow, how gutsy is that? You know,
yeah.
One of my favorite bands on the planet.
Right, and finally, you know, with punk having a sort of set of rules where you can only be fast and loud.
Yeah, no double
these
out.
Guys finally say, hey, we're learning to play. We're influenced by more than just tearing down the rock and roll system and trying to start from day one. Let's throw some more stuff into it. And it became sort of like their Sergeant Pepper or whatever, you know.
Big time.
Their White Album.
Yeah, and this song is great. It's the best song on the record. Yeah, it's called The Call Up.
Call Up.
Hear the call up, I don't wanna kill.
Not to heed the call up, The Clash featuring the late great Joe Strummer, who passed away just about 10 years ago, I think yesterday or so. You're listening to the Medicine Ball Caravan on KRVS. This is Sir Cecil sitting in with Deej, Brother
hey, buddy.
Deej, who will be included on the soundtrack of Django Unchained that hit the market last Tuesday. And of course, the film opens tomorrow, and everyone's really excited about it. And anyway.
Speaking of which, I'm getting text messages from a gang of people that I want to go out there tomorrow. The Times at the Grand.
No, we can't mention that. We can't talk
okay,
about that.
No commercial plugs.
No. But yeah, we know you're going to see it tomorrow, man. So anyway.
Keep an eye on the Facebook.
Yeah, there you go, man. So I wish I could see it with you. I wish, like I said, I wish we would have totally had reserved a screening. But anyway, that will be tomorrow. So, man, hopefully Quentin will consider you or keep his ears on you. You know, the way he found you, I mean, I remember him relaying the story of how he discovered the 54321s. I think he was in Japan and in the airport and was in a record store, and they were playing the 54321s in the store. And he said, man, I really like this. Can I buy a copy of this? And he says, oh, no, we don't have it. We could order it for you. And he just said, knowing me, if I would have left, I would have never even thought about the song again. So he begged them to buy the store copy. I think he bribed them and took that with him. And then, you know, they ended up.
I'd never heard that story.
Yeah, that's how they ended up in Kill Bill, just by accident. I mean, to say he hears
awesome.
A song, something yeah. clicks, you know, and it's just like so.
I mean, it's good to know that people out there in, you know, positions of power creatively that are well-established people are still looking for stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to search around. I mean, you know, we're in the day and age of the internet where it's you have access to so much, but sometimes it's harder to find the good stuff because you have to search through. It's over, you know, mm-hmm. amount. It's oversaturated
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. So sometimes you have to look harder than, I guess, maybe pre-internet or whatnot. I know. Like, you were talking about you guys in Mamou and being like three punk rock guys, you know. You just talked and wrote letters to each other and stuff.
Yeah, well,
like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, there were no punk rock guys in Mamou. I mean, I was basically communicating with people in New York and on the West Coast and would visit them. And, yeah, it was like a small tribe. And, you know, there was this, you know, we were talking about back then there was a brief point when, there was a sort of this recognition factor or feeling that you were part of a family. By the time you got to 1979 or 1980, it kind of become, you were seeing it all over TV. So, you know, more people were into it. So it sort of became, still for a while. I mean, when you think about it, punk really didn't break till probably 1990
as far as
a commercial, you know, success. But anyway,
right.
We're going on and on about ancient history. But so anyway, man, so all this time, I know for the almost the past year, I've been waiting on news of your follow-up album.
And it's done.
We've been playing way out here for a few months, and I'm trying not to play it. But no, I don't mind. Hey, I like playing things way in advance. And you know, even helping out Primo by playing it on air so he can fine tune his mix. You know, we do that as a service here sometimes on KRVS. No, not really.
Just test out the compression ratios on these songs.
No, I didn't do it purposely, but usually that's why Primo, I think, gives me these advanced copies so he can hear it on the radio and just figures how he wants to tweak it. So when he does listen to it on the radio, but of course, you know, here we are on FM. So many people listening to it digitally. You're going to have a different sound there.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, the radio has a compression.
But it's good to know his heart is still like
Primo is a genius at that, man. He's got a great ear, you know.
He hears things. I mean, he's sending me, you know, oh, yeah, this is the better mix. Oh, he even told me that last time in the mix that I've got. He goes, oh, I've done it again. And on this one, that was my third mix that he had sent me. And he said, final mix. Man. And then now I'm playing it. Oh, man, I got a better mix of that. So
To be honest, I can't even tell the difference between most of them. I just write them.
I can't either.
I write them and record them, and then like they compress them and figure out, twiddle the knobs.
That's the way those guys are. Well, let's play some more music. You brought in some Husker Du.
Something I learned today. Just 2.5 minute blast.
It's not even 2.5. It's just 2.
Even better.
There you go. Oh, wrong one.
Don't believe
Tacoma, Washington, the mid-1960s, the powerhouse group known as the Sonics with I Don't Believe in Christmas, pretty much a good statement on on our selfishness and materialism, though I'm sure it wasn't meant as that, but when you look deeper and under the fingernails, that's what you get. And then before that, who do we hear before that?
Something I Learned Today, who's going to do a great band, yes. Minneapolis.
Yeah, there you go.
Slamming.
Here with Brother Deej on the Medicine Ball Caravan, spinning some tunes on this Christmas Eve. And, yeah, we were talking earlier about, I lost my train of thought, but, yeah, we were talking about this new album that you've been working on that I've been spinning. And so when is that going to see the light of day? And when did you wrap that up?
We done thought it would be done, you know, like
exactly.
In the spring. And
I mean,
it's like all musicians that are putting out their own stuff, it doesn't always go according to
right.
Kind of perfectly set schedule.
I believe I got way out back in April or May, and I've been spinning it pretty regularly.
Probably spun it into the dirt already, and the album's not even out.
I know, but it's such a great tune.
Thank you.
I think if Quentin heard that, he was.
Thank you so
that
much.
That totally sounds like that could
He's
be
He's got a
film.
Copy of the new one.
Okay, well, good, man. So,
but it's done. The new record's done. It's called How to Kill a Horse, and we were planning on putting it out like this, like now, around this time. But then this Django stuff popped up, so it was like, okay, let's hold on to this and kind of wait to do that in 2013.
Let the interest burn, so when this comes out, people really take notice of it.
The thing's done, mastered, in the can, everything, the artwork's all compiled. And
good move.
Thanks to all my peeps for helping me get it together, man. I really appreciate it. And that's the thing about doing this stuff is, you know, you can't do it alone. You need some help sometimes. And there's so many talented people in this town in different medias that are helping each other and doing it, you know.
This place is crazy. I mean, it's just, you know, when I think 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, we thought that this was a pretty cool musical scene, but the next generation came along and things happened, and you know, now it's like, you know, it makes me long. Anyway, I wish I was 25 again.
I just thought of something I wanted to mention. We shot a video last week at a Four Corners motel a couple weeks ago, and we're about to put it out. We're going through some logistical stuff with it, but it should be coming out in the next 1 to 2, 3 days.
Yeah, I've seen the still pictures of shots from it on Facebook, but I'm dying to see the
get a sneak peek at it, you know, there's a guy named Brian C. Miller Richard. You could check him out on Facebook. He might be able to direct you to the right thing and see it now if you're that interested.
All right, yeah, I know him. Yeah, so great. Yeah, so he shot it then, right?
Yeah, I think he's got it online somewhere.
Okay, cool.
Plugging anything to
but
much.
Anyway, hopefully everyone will be seeing it soon, and there will be an
That's cool. It was fun, dude. It was just I actually used to live in this motel.
You know, I can see VH1 or one of these channels picking it up. You know, hey, they did a half hour special on BET last night on the film. A half hour sort of promo showing behind the scenes, them shooting it down near New Orleans on the plantation and all that. Yeah. You know, the cool thing about Quentin, too, that I liked, I heard it in an interview, I think it was on the Howard Stern interview, he was talking about when he films a movie that he totally bans cell phones. No one can have a cell phone. You get
That's
your cell phone
when
you go home. He says, it's totally a good idea because we're all too distracted. He goes, he's such a film. He says, I want this to be the entire world. Your whole focus should be on this movie.
Agreed.
And your work instead of, I mean, how many people are going to be lighting up their cell phones while they're watching the movie?
I was thinking about cell phones the other day, how it eats into my daydream time. Because when I'm sitting around waiting to do something, I'll look at my phone, look at new stuff or whatever. And I'm like, man, I start to put it down and just kind of do that thing where you're just kind of space out and have nothing to do. It's like that's honestly when a lot of good ideas come in your head, you know, when you're just daydreaming.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some more music. You brought in a tune that you've got me all stoked to hear.
Which
now.
One is this?
The Theotis Taylor tune.
This is awesome. If anybody's ever heard of this record, there's an album, a triple album called Fire in My Bones, and it's all lo-fi recorded black gospel music from like 1920 to the present day.
Mm-hmm.
And look that up. It's killer. It's like the most awesome music ever. Like black people singing about God. I love it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Well, we started off the preaching at the beginning of the show with Reverend R.M. Gates. Let's check out Theotis Taylor.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
Not blow your mind.
And Theotis Taylor here on the Medicine Ball Caravan, brought to us by our guest, Brother Deej. Deej, any Christmas message you have for the listeners out there? Such, you know, this Christmas is kind of darker than usual, you know.
You think?
The whole well, you know, for you, not so much, but the national, the national news and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, there's sort of there seems to be a cloud, and then we got bad weather coming.
Here's my message, and take it with a grain of salt or whatever, but just go toward the light, people. Just take care of one another and shoot toward the light. No matter how dark it gets, if your life isn't perfect or whatever, just keep aiming toward the light. That's all you got to do.
I think so, man. Well, man, Deej, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for coming. Congratulations. I can't be more excited for you, man.
Thanks to everybody in this town, man.
Well deserved, man. I feel like I'm vindicated for being a fan and spinning you for all this time. So anyway, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
And again,
thank you,
Django
so
Unchained is out everywhere beginning Christmas Day.
Y'all have a good holiday.
Everyone do. There'll be some great Christmas specials coming out beginning this evening and during the day tomorrow. Even stick around. Valerie Green is up next with Harpistry. She's got a special holiday edition. Medicine Ball Caravan was produced live in Cypress Lake Studios here on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, who join you in support of this station. I'm Cecil Doyle, Sir Cecil, as Deej would say. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll do it again on Wednesday.